Hey, welcome to today's podcast here at www.cvasps.com. Our guest today is Yosef Johnson of Ultimate Athlete Concepts. Yosef's been a very big influence on my coaching career. He's definitely opened my eyes to some different methodologies that quite frankly, I really would have been missing the boat on. We're going to talk about his latest article. Yosef, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thanks a lot, Jay. I've been looking forward to it.
Awesome. Well, Yosef, let's get right to it here, bud. Kind of throwing a new buzzword out there, if we can, since everyone in our field loves those, and the word is precision. Let's talk about that a little bit, since you and I have spent countless hours talking about precision in every aspect of programming. Let's kind of start with that and build off it, if you wouldn't mind.
Okay. It's funny that's kind of come a little bit of a buzzword, but it's something that I think appropriately describes your aim as a coach when you're developing an athlete. And so I think if I remember correctly in the article, I kind of alluded to it's kind of like being a doctor who prescribes a medication or a treatment for a patient. While medications can save lives, they can also, used incorrectly, can kill people. So you have this large kind of continuum of choices that can be made using the same tool and have two totally different results. And the same thing happens with the training of an athlete. The doctor has to consider the age of the patient, the possibly the sex of the patient, the background, and then has to consider, what treatment options should be used that will appropriately treat the issue. So much in that way, when you have a group of athletes or one-on-one athletes, you have to evaluate what will work in the particular context to get the specific result that you want. And so the variables are these: volume, intensity, exercise selection, and also the sequencing of the exercises, as well as how do we make changes in intensity as time goes by, and possibly volume, and then also the techniques that we use. How do we change from one year to the next? Because one of the things that I think is probably sorely missing is, after one off season, you see a lot of people plateau because they don't know what to do next. So giving all those things together, that's really what defines precision training: right methods for the right person at the right time and the right dose.
Yes, and that's kind of a great lead-in to what has now been, on the internet, is, let's call it a buzzword again, minimalist training or minimalist prescription of exercise, which, people love to have cool things that they can tag on to stuff. And I don't know why, after spending a couple weekends with the guy and talking with him multiple times on the phone, obviously not as many as you have, but people seem to miss that Doc has been talking about this forever. And when I say Doc, I mean Dr. Yeses, giving the least amount needed in order to the least amount of stimulus required in order to yield the adaptation desired, now seems to be something that people are looking at. Let's talk about that a little bit because, again, this is another topic that you and I have spent countless hours talking about, the programming of all the athletes I work with. Touch upon that for a brief moment, if you don't mind.
Sure. Really what you're talking about is, at a particular stage in training, the athlete has a maximum that their body will adapt and give you improvement, and that's based upon the level of athlete they are and also on their genetics. So the idea is to find that sweet spot of volume and intensity that elicits that result. You're not going to get any more than that result. That's already a foregone conclusion. The only thing that you're trying to ask yourself is, what's the sweet spot? Where do I optimize you know, volume and intensity to get that result that they're capable of having. And so, you know, what someone may call minimalist, what I call it is just trying to find it out. And the way that you do this, because you're not going to, you know, it's going to be rare that you're going to hit it right on the head. Although as time goes by, you probably get much better at it. I think more of the question is, let's err on the side of caution and go below that level and then slowly maybe make adjustments upwards until we see that, okay, we're hitting a really good level of response with the athlete. The athlete's not worn out. They're not beat up coming into each workout. So one of the things you'd see is that they're improving at a very nice pace. And secondly, subjectively, you're asking them how they're feeling and how they're doing, and they're not coming into subsequent workouts beat up. Those are two really good measuring sticks, I guess, if you will, to get that done.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. And I think that almost using each workout, when you look at, you know, and we'll get into this in another podcast, more of the jumping work that'll turn into specialized work and things of that nature. But looking at specific jumping activities, whether it be a single vertical jump, a long jump, single or double effort or multiple effort bounds. And what we have found is by recording data, like this is what athlete X jumped on day A. Day B, they should be jumping slightly higher, you know, so that they are yielding some sort of training effect, whether it be higher or further. Or maybe it's covering the distance at a greater speed, you know, in less time, or in less steps. And understanding that when they miss two in a row, well, then it's time to make some adaptations, then it's time to make some changes to your programming, and knowing that now is when you need to change what they do.
Yeah, I think really the key is this. The two big keys is knowing the athlete, paying attention to what you saw the last time that you were with them, asking relevant questions. Number one, how are you feeling today? And that seems like a really kind of a easy thing, but you got to ask, because most athletes don't pay attention to details because they're used to a coach saying, just suck it up and let's get going and let's get the work done. In terms of training for performance, you have to use a different approach. You say, how are you feeling? Okay, how's your sleep been? Have you had a cold? Any allergies? Those things will have a dramatic impact on workout performance and performance in general. And so we got to get that, first of all, we got to say, get that off the desktop. Okay, those things are not an issue. So now, even if the athlete's not, now if the athlete's still not performing as well, then we got to go back and say, well, what are we doing here? Maybe I'm giving them too much work. And you start scaling back. And you scale back incrementally till you find, you know, that area where you want to be at. You know, I think those things are critical. The other thing that can't be really overlooked is the technique of the exercises. You're always looking for perfect technique in execution of the exercises because, you know, an example would be like if you had, you could squat with various stances in various depths. There's one of those will be the one that gives you the maximum benefit. So you have two athletes doing the same exercise. One is getting, let's say, 99% efficiency out of the exercise, and another athlete's only getting 70 because of the execution of the exercise. So that's another thing that is absolutely critical. And if you're able to err on the side of caution or lower than what the athlete can handle by virtue of the fact that you're using excellent execution of exercises and their technique, so you're going to get this maximum carryover without really pushing the athlete really hard.
Right. And that's so big is to get, you know, again, not to take a buzzword, but the amount of transfer of training from the actual training to the sport itself is what's so important. And so many people, and I too have been as guilty as this is the next guy, but they look at, well, yeah, how much do these kids squat or how much do these kids bench? And who cares? You know, let's find some markers to go off of so that we know, for example, working with the basketball players, You've got to be able to cut. You got to be able to move left to right. You've got to be explosive, and you got to be quick. So looking at a one jump, a four jump, a long jumper bounce, or, you know, in distance and time covered for lateral bounce, for me, is what I like to look at to make sure that, A, we're not frying them out and they're getting better, and, B, that we actually are getting better every day, so that there is going to be some carryover to what actually matters, and that's the game of basketball. And as a, you know, performance coach's job, it doesn't matter if it's track and field or sweating or football or whatever. It's a matter of determining variables that you can monitor on a day-to-day basis to understand, are they getting better at the skills that are going to carry over to their sport? And if they are, we're going in the right direction. Keep doing what you're doing. If they're not, I don't want to say back to the drawing board, but maybe that's exactly what you need to do.
Precisely. I mean, what you got to do is you got to ask all the right questions. You know, get the details of the athlete first with what I mentioned earlier. Then you start scaling backwards. And what I've done, Jay, you know, I've been doing this, it's going to be 18 years in April that Doc and I have been working together. And the one thing that I found where I didn't listen very well in the first stages, because I have an intense personality, and I wanted to push things, you know, to really get this incredible result. And as time went by, I never told Doc this, but I was experimenting with scaling things back. So I was really becoming a real stickler on technique of the exercises, which I had not been in the initial stages. He told me what to do, but, you know, I thought he would nitpick over things, and I thought that it really wasn't necessary, and I would push it harder. And what I found out is, as I got a little older and hopefully a little smarter, I started listening better. And just as an experiment, I never told him, I would start scaling back the athlete's training just to see what would happen. And the irony is, I would have third or fourth year kids in their third or fourth off season. We would scale back their volume maybe, or some of the intensity. And I actually got a better result in the third off season than I got in the first one, which is not supposed to happen by and large. You know, you should start seeing a somewhat of a decline, a marginal decline in result from the athlete. So what I found out, even though I was training less intensity than most other people, and the technique, I was really being really stickler on getting the technique down, I was finding I was getting a better result than I had been. I was already getting good results, don't get me wrong. I was getting excellent results. But I was getting even better as I started to do what he said. You know, I was really paying attention to that, and it really opened my eyes that precision in what you're doing matters way more than how hard you work them. Matter of fact, if you're killing them, you know, most of these guys are not high-level athletes. I mean, when you get kids, they're relatively untrained, even at the collegiate level, high school level, definitely untrained. You got to consider who you're dealing with. And one other point, if I may make, a lot of the literature that even the books that we publish, they are written for high-level athletes. And you've got to remember, you don't have high-level athletes, so you've got to go back and do something that's appropriate for the kid that you got.
Right. As cliched as it is, you know, the KISS principle plays such a vast, strong role in what we do. Just keep it simple, stupid. Look at what they're doing. Look at the proper techniques. I mean, from everything from, you know, maybe not so much the warm-up stuff, unless there's an actual goal to the warm-up other than just warming them up. But the big thing that I've noticed is precision in movement training, precision in technique with the list that we use, precision in specialized exercises, precision in how they do the jumps. You know, getting these kids to focus in, and if you need to, almost as weird as it is, show them physically how this resembles game X. You know, whatever it may be, basketball, football, lacrosse, you know, whatever these kids do, if you can show them why it's important and why they need to focus in, you may have to do it every day. You may not. I mean, you may have kids that are like, oh, I remember. If you do, you're lucky. But it'll bring them in and almost be the ignition point for them to start focusing in on the technique. You know, I mean, and then we can get into myelin and all that stuff if we want to have a a 2.5 hour discussion, but we don't really need to do that today. And just the cutting action, you know, the simple walking and cutting out that Doc talks about, that you and I have talked about ad nauseum. I mean, finding different ways to get them to move better and do it more precisely and more efficiently and more correct and faster. I mean, it has been great for us, you know, and they show up. It's pretty neat when you can actually sit there and step back and watch that precision show up in the training and then in practice and in games, and in understanding that due to the simplicity of the training and the simplicity of the methods, but the intensity of the focus is what yields the highest return.
Oh, right. I mean, you know, the big thing that I see is maybe being missing in the United States is the training of the athlete for performance has kind of become, in some instances, maybe an afterthought. Just go hit the weight room. Go work out. Make sure you stretch. But there's not the details of how, why, what, when. What are we trying to get done? What's different? And so I think that what's happened is we see all these red herrings that kind of get you off the point of, you know, you're measuring maybe things that aren't as relevant to their performance, you know, with different testing and things like this. You want to see if they can execute the actions in the sport, not whether or not they can execute maybe a particular stretch or a particular movement that doesn't necessarily have relevance to what they have to do. And I think that's right. The key. You got to keep your mind on what you're doing, you know, always. If for an example, if you have a point guard, the number one thing that you need him to be able to do is to be quick as lightning, laterally and front. He needs to be extremely quick and be able to change directions very quickly. That's the primary objective there. And then you've got all your other ones. He needs to be able to jump. You know, he obviously needs to be fast up and down the court. He also needs to have good endurance. But, you know, you're looking at it. What's going to make him great? You know, what's going to make this guy great? Well, nobody can get around him when he's on defense, and he can get around anybody he wants to when he's on offense. Well, now he's a totally different player, and that's the objective. And I think that, you know, maybe we've gotten off course a little bit in that way of looking at things that aren't as highly relevant. And like you said, there's a simplicity to this in the sense that what does he need to be able to do? What's going to make him a great player, and how do we train that thing, as opposed to getting off onto how much can he squat, how much can he bench, can he stretch this way or that way. You know, those are all indicators. They're like economic indicators. They give you some idea of the picture, but they don't give you the whole picture. And that is
right.
the aim, I think.
That's a great analogy, too, that they're economic indicators. Well, Yosef, appreciate it, my man. And, you know, since you guys are a huge part of what we do here at the Central Virginia Sport Performance Seminar, and you have been a huge influence on me, I'd like to take a couple minutes here and talk about what's the future with UAC. What's the latest and greatest coming out? What can our listeners and readers know that when they go to your site, they're going to be able to purchase here in the next coming months, year, whatever it may be?
Well, actually, we've got three things that we're working on. Well, a few more than that, but I've got the upcoming closest release that we have. I'll be partnering with Dr. Yesus on a new book from him called The Kinesiology and Biomechanics of Exercise. It's going to be, I think, at least 500 to 600 pages. It should be done, I think, in February. Incredible resource for the coach, because you know, you're going to talk about exercises and you're going to go over them and you're going to learn the what's going on there, what muscles are being used in what way, the biomechanics of the movement and its applicability onto sports and different, you know, activities or events in the Olympics. That should be like a desktop reference, I think, for coaches, because then that gives you that background, because I think that's kind of a missing component in today's training. And then we've got some other exciting stuff, too. I'm doing a new project with Natalia Vereshchansky. We're going to be putting her dad's book, The Shock Method, out. It's only been written up to this point in Spanish and Russian, And we're going to be putting that out in English, hopefully, sometime this year. I would say it'd probably be more like summertime is my guess. And I have another project with Dr. Dietrich Hara, who was kind of maybe the equivalent of Dr. Vereshchansky for East Germany. And as a lot of people know, the East Germans were very sophisticated in their training. And, you know, some would say maybe even more sophisticated than the Russians in the sense that their population wasn't that high, but they were achieving incredible results. So we're going to be putting that book out here, I think, in the next couple of months. And the one project that I'm really excited about, actually, I'm excited about two. We're also going to be doing some DVDs on cutting and running that Dr. Yeses goes over when he goes over the technique of both and then also the exercises that he would use to improve those things. I think that's going to be very practical because you can look at it. You know, we're going to look at how to run, how to cut, what are the exercises that are mostly relevant, and then also one on plyometrics, a practical DVD on how to implement those at the right time. And then lastly, I'm excited. We're going to be doing a brand new book from Dr. Anatoly Bondarchuk. And this goes along with what you and I have been discussing. It's going to be somewhat like a life plan for an athlete. So what he's doing is putting a book that's going to describe how to train the novice athlete and each year leading up to elite level and then how to train the elite level athlete. So it's going to give you something very appropriate and applicable for your situation. So if you're dealing with a ninth grader who's 14, here's what you want to be doing. If the guy's an intermediate athlete and let's say he's 19 or 20, here's what you want to do. And then when he's an elite athlete, here's what you want to do. There's going to be a lot of rules of thumb, you know, a roadmap, if you will. I'm very excited about that because I think that is the one thing that is missing in the literature altogether of how to develop this athlete from start to finish with a maximum efficiency. So fingers crossed, that one will be ready by June, and we'll be able to ship at that time. So that's kind of, we got a lot of stuff going on this year where I'm really excited about, and hopefully we get everything out on the time frame that we want to. We never seem to get it right on the nose, but we're hoping to get all this stuff out by the middle of the late summer. And information that you've never seen before written in the English language that would be very, very valuable to the coach.
Awesome. Yeah, that's great stuff. It's almost like a seminar reunion right there when you're talking about the Vereshchanskys and the Yeses's and the Bondarchuks, you know, people who have been at the seminar who put out some of the best information around, and it's something that I can't recommend enough to the people out here listening and our readers at CVASPS.com. Click the link below. We'll make sure that we've got UAC's address right here so you guys can check it out if there's anything that you haven't picked up from Yosef's site. There's nothing on there that, A, I don't own, B, I haven't read at least twice, and C, that I wouldn't recommend without, you know, the highest recommendation. It's all fantastic stuff, and it's all stuff that you should have sitting right above your desk. Yosef, thank you very much for your time, brother. As always, it's great. Look forward to talking with you again soon, my friend.
Thanks a lot, Jared. Appreciate it. You have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you.